Motley Reel 5. You were describing the tasks that your commander sent you out to do when you were on the
Yes.
11th Corps District. Yes, no, you were saying that you were sent out to locate particular formations and
Well,
that sort of
I
thing.
had to using casualties and the empty bumper, very much
Yes.
Lampard thing.
Now you mentioned the two exercises, Bulldog and Bumper. What were they practicing?
Well, one of them
Yes.
exercise, yeah, I suppose, in the early days, in case we were invaded in those days.
Would that be Bulldog?
I forget which game Bulldog was first, I
Yeah.
think, yes. But I mean, we had mines on the coast, because we had all the anti-invasion stuff.
Yes, in the spring of 1941.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember what form the exercise took? What operations were being practiced?
I think the Home Guard were involved, and we were having imaginary landings. We've got a force who's got fuel, and we have to set some kind of an ambush. We have an ambush plan, I think.
Did this exercise actually involve actually moving troops on the ground, or was it mainly a map exercise for the headquarters?
I think we were troops there were, because I know I was commanding a company on one of them, and I planned
What did you do during the exercise? What did the company do?
it. We had to guard vulnerable points, VIPs.
In St Albans.
No, this was found, oddly enough, in Wiltshire, a place where we were called. I don't know. Anyway, a company was situated there, and tanks were involved. And I remember we captured a tank, which was great fun. This is a Sherman, which we got up to date tank.
Is this the first time you'd had anything to do with tanks?
No, I think it was rather, yes, but I had a very distinguished officer under me who was and he I said, go and capture that tank, which he did. I don't know what he did. He got the damn thing in, especially the West Berlin. I don't know what he did with it, because that's what actually happened. I was commanding a company then, and of course,
What about Exercise Bumper? What was that about?
well, I was staff for one. The bumper was, I think, an anti-invasion. I mean, they were
Both anti-invasion
both.
exercises.
Yes.
What sort of level were they? Were they core exercises or higher
Oh,
than
yes.
core or what?
So, the Living Corps were certainly very much involved. And then the division, I think it was a pretty much core exercise, although Monty was not very involved. Yes, I think it's a core. I remember the divisions,
Was your battalion, 4th Battalion, a motorised battalion or a foot battalion?
Foot battalion. So we had IFC transport from the army.
Did that work effectively for you?
Yes, I think so.
What was the sort of general level of military skill in 4th Battalion when you joined it? How did it compare with 1st Battalion and 2nd Battalion?
Well, it didn't really compare because, particularly with the second, really, what we did have were very good. And obviously, they were pretty trained. And out of India, again, they were pretty well trained. I would say they were very different because they were national service, huge territory.
Did you find that they made very different demands on you as a commander because of that difference in origin?
I think they were more fun in some way, easy to get on with. They were more malleable than the regular soldier.
But less experience.
Yes. But they're good chaps, and if you got along with them, and you led in some way or another, well, they follow you.
When you got out to meet them for the first time, obviously the critical thing is to establish a sort of rapport.
Yes.
How long did it take to do that, to get to the point where there was a mutual confidence?
I didn't think it took too long, and I think I got on with it that well. Mm. Yeah, it
What could they do then when you first encountered them? How many, you know, how much training had they had? What sort of?
Well, they were territorials, and obviously they had a little training, and they called up, you know, as a young war. The National Service Union had a bit of training, definitely.
Basic training.
Basic training, but not much tactical training. Mm.
So.
They understood their weapons, I think, because they had the 2-inch water, they had those on them, and the rifle, which is simple population, and they may have had the loss, or I can't remember what it was, but I don't think the weather was disadvantaged.
So they could march, because you took them on route marches.
Yes. They had weapons on them.
They could shoot.
Yes, I can't remember range, general range, the end of this year.
Yes.
But
they understood the basics, and they'd done some musketry.
Yes.
And what about when you were at Clacton? Was it easier to arrange tactical training when you were at Clacton?
Yes, we used to do exercises on Clacton Pier.
Clacton Pier.
But this comes to when I got back and I didn't win a war at Clacton.
Oh, I see.
I think they were at Clacton or Devercourt. It was somewhere there, trying to get them where it was.
Down there as
it was. After the war, when I had my leave and sergeant's time to this and serving, I was sent to Clacton to Huddington.
Right.
I didn't come into later.
Right.
In our personal defense role, we had the man, when you were in a slip, not slip trenches, but there were different bases you had to man and watch out for.
Observation posts.
Yeah, but they were all dug, you know,
the strong points.
Yes. They were all sandbagged and very well made, and you had to keep things going.
Did that involve a lot of repair and maintenance work?
Certainly not, yes.
What sort of form were they in? Were they strong points, or were they lines of entrenchment? Or?
A bit of everything, yeah. They had trenches too. They were being taken down forth until they were in another town. They were prepared.
Did you man those at night?
Or, yeah.
In full strength or in skeleton?
Skeleton, maybe. But I think you were on call.
Yes. Did you have, were they protected by wire and minefields or obstacles?
Yes.
Did you ever have any invasion scares while you were on coastal defence?
Not anything, no.
So it's simply a matter of watching and waiting?
Yes.
And presumably that would cut down the amount of time you have for training if you were actually on watch.
Yes, it was far more warlike on the coast than it was at Lawton's.
I think your next move was out to the Middle East.
Yes.
In the autumn of 1942.
Yes.
How did that come about?
I think I had finished. They decided, I think, that I wasn't going to be a staff officer.
On what basis? I mean, you've done a staff job, hadn't you? With the
yes, but... I remember going to the G1 or G2 and asking what my chances were of being stopped on, and obviously at that time, it wasn't a really considered college.
Were you seriously interested in going to staff college?
I don't think so, really, but I mean, everybody wants to go to staff college. I've got the events for it, but I don't care about that. I think that I was just trying to get on fellow like you are. And so I was sent from there. I went to the 6th Battalion, who were the only battalion out of Cornwall, and sent out on a draft. with a draft to Durban. We went out in a Dutch boat called Buzz Again in Conroy. And it's all clear up country. And headlights were closed at night, it was very hot. You weren't allowed to smoke, or smoke because you were cool, but you weren't allowed to smoke after dark because you couldn't see lights outside, and people didn't like smoking burning in the shop. But people liked to smoke, and there it was all right, and all times were open. I do remember we got the free time in this convoy that. Another boat with some nurses on board was spotted. And she went on one side. She was over. And there were urgent calls to go, some of us to get on the other side. That happened. We went round the Cape, we were all right, we went on Peter drinking, and we went to Durban.
What was it, a big convoy?
Yes, pretty good.
Escorted?
Oh, yes. Didn't see too much of anything in there. One occupied the time, as you always do on a trip, with a tug of war and all the skins and things, and walking 7 hours on the deck and looking after the troops and so on. And we survived and went to Durban.
Was there any action on the way? Any attacks on the convoy?
No. We had a large gun, I think it was about, could have been 6 inch, pretty big gun in its turn, and some guns, maritime guns,
yes.
But we never had to use it.
What happened to you at Durban? Did you get ashore?
Oh yes, rather, for about 6 weeks. We went to Fairwood Camp, which is a race course outside Durban, and I had my draft, and I used to go for rat marching with them, couldn't be very much even. Used to go bathing, that was called Pisapinga, and I couldn't do a lot with the sailors. One, of course, went into Durban on my own. The girls were friendly there. We were only allowed to draw part of our pair, about a third, so we were living there. The best thing to drink was Van der Hum, and which would be cheap. Cigarettes are alright, because we were also using cigarettes. There are quite a few things in CTs, with CTC, which were very useful if you wanted to make friends with girls and get them done. There had been in Durban, and a very well known fact, a lady on the piano who heard this, and I'm sure. You know what that is? Oh, she, I don't know who she was, but she sang in the troops, and she was frightful when every troop ship came and she was there. But when we were there, she had gone. The Australians had been there, I don't know. But they were responsible for an awful lot, of course. There's a story, I must tell you a story. When they got to Bombay, the Australians had a nuisance. And the fire brigade had been very helpful with the occasion to put out fires and stuff. So we decided when the Australians left to present a present to one of the Australians to the city fathers. So they presented us a lovely flock. Beautiful, or with a full stop. Now they've gone. I have a glad of missing this block of being stolen from stuff. You've probably seen the film, Let Me.
Yes.
I mean, all that sort of thing.
So they're an unruly lot. How did you find the South Africans?
I had a lot of time in South Africa because they were very helpful to us in the desert. I wasn't there, but I'm the nearest foreigner. We got on very well with them. We had a very close liaison with the Royal Light Infantry today. And they came up last summer and being able to entertain them.
I mean, there was a movement in South Africa at the time that was sympathetic to the Axis powers. Did you see any signs of that in Durban?
Not in that time, no.
Were you able to do anything serious in the way of training at Durban on the...
Not really. I can't remember whether we even had any weapons to play with.
Sounds like the land of cocaine.
It was in Exeter, a bit about this and that.
Yes. Where did you actually end up in Egypt? What? Where did you land?
Well, we went up in a ship called New Amsterdam. We had a sort of fortnightly job. Took about 2 weeks, I think, to get to Suez, and I went in that ship, which was very uncomfortable.
What was wrong with it?
It's too big. I mean, there were too many troops. We were all sort of in ships doing this and that, feeding. So we had to move very fast. We had better aiding, it was very, very hot there.
Yeah.
Then we went up to Suez, and I disembarked and went to a transit camp at a place called Fayou. Well, I was away from Houston, and there were lots of officers doing their war there.
This is the first time you'd actually spent any time in Egypt, wasn't it? Apart from your brief run ashore at Port Said.
Yes, it was. Yes.
What impression did you get of Egypt?
The lazy fees. I don't want to say too much because I have only got the autonomous man to Egypt. But they were after what they could get. And of course, everybody knows the story of the Luke and the Lions. You know them, I'm sure. When the Germans were getting anywhere near to Cairo, Farouk, who was the king, personally shot the lions in the zoo because he represented British. And they were ready for anything, the Egyptians, you know, to jump on the pig's back. In a way, you couldn't blame them because it did look as though the Germans were going to be under the other generals, too.
Rommel. Had you heard of him before you arrived in Egypt?
Oh, yes. Yes. He was in so I then, one of us, one or two of us in BC and I, got a job. We went up to Cairo, we were subalterns, and got ourselves promoted. So we were new captains, and the charming old boy, Cairo, said we should be a good captain, so on. And we had a job doing combined operations for them on the Suez Canal, under the equipment mix. Quite, had no type at all, but there it was. And we were the liaison officers there, and had to do a certain amount of training troops, getting into men and corps and out. And I used to command the enemy across the canal and across the lakes. We had all sorts of wonderful things we could use. The Italians had wonderful pop guns called Beagles.
Yes.
And then
that was a 25mm, wasn't it?
Something like that. But yes. I mean, they had some we could use for automatic fire, whereas we couldn't wear it with them. And they were all right. They didn't kill anybody, but they were automatic. And we had grenades which had a red tape on them.
Concussion grenades.
Had
you done any amphibious operations training before?
No, but the thing is, pick up.
How did you pick it up? How did you go about learning what you needed to know?
Watching what other people did. We had really interesting people there, a commandant, this chap called Tata. He was a Marine who had served with my father when he was there along with a new boat chap. And he had a captain. The card was called Hornblower, which I was there to spend it. And captains is always, well, you know, you're a bad one. And he's quite good to have one of his enemies.
Who did you have to play the part of enemy?
Oh, we had soldiers on sort of duties there.
Did they stay with you long, or were they posted in and out?
No, I can't
short term.
I think they may have been sort of posted in and out short term. But there were always some troops. We didn't need many of them then.
I mean, did you dress them up in enemy uniform or anything like that to make it authentic, or did they just wear British uniform?
Yeah, I think they just wore, probably took out badges with black rope and something.
What sort of operations were you practicing at Kabaret?
Invasion.
So amphibious assault.
Fishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
What sort of scale were you doing?
Battalion scale. Loading and unloading, we wasn't there, so
yes.
Wasn't any battalion, we had armour corps. And,
you had tanks as well?
We couldn't do anything with tanks, but I do remember them.
What sort of ground did you have on either side of the lake? Were there any features that you could use to just absolutely flat?
Not very far away was the Devil Massacre, which was a good thing there. I used to come down there.
I mean, did you sort of build mock defences that the amphibious trainees had to sort of?
Couldn't do anything with the tents. I only remember they were there, and
yes.
You put on the, well, but you couldn't use it then to shallow.
The lake was too shallow.
They had mock up LCAs too, which were very things of the same, and what goes in first comes out last, and you have to work out loading tables and sort of thing.
Just doing the drills before
drills
they
them, yeah.
Yes, before they get
probably that was what they did, right? That's wrong in saying they had any aircraft tanks
there. Now they had landing, they must have had landing craft assault though for the infantry.
Oh yes, to the LCAs rather.
Yeah.
Yes, lots of those.
How long would each battalion spend doing this amphibious assault training? That's quite a long time, isn't it, for a course?
Yes.
And how many landings will they actually do, real landings, on the water during that 3 weeks, do you think?
Well,
Yes. So would they have a go first as companies and then form them up as a battalion?
Yes, I think we were able to. Do
a progressive scheme.
Yes.
Did you carry on just commanding the enemy, or did you do other jobs in that?
Yeah. Very interesting. I met
friends and so on. When an LCA touched on the far side of the lake, how long would it take for the troops to get off it and get deployed into fighting formation?
Well, it really went well. They were off and deployed in about 5 minutes, I think.
What sort of things could go wrong with that sort of drill?
You could mainly turn your name in the wrong place if you needed to. Something's stuck. The board that comes down uses stick sometimes. LCAs would break down.
Well, that, as you say, is simply making sure that the first man off is the last man on.
Yes.
How many men could you pack into an assault craft?
Well, about a platoon, I think.
Fully equipped?
Yes. Normally they had a mortar, probably a 2-inch mortar.
Yes.
And a gun.
What sort of speed would they be able to get up going across the lake?
About so much, but not in the war. They made all the files, they were square.
Flat bottom.
Flat bottom, yes. They might have done that 7 months. It's very rarely rough, right?
How far would they go? I mean, how wide was the lake, the area where you were practicing?
Quite wide. It went down the centre of the lake on the called Bog Coast. They were supposed to spot mines.
Yes.
Which was supposed to be docked. I can't remember mines being docked, but that was their job.
Mm.
How far across? It's quite wide, about a mile.
Have you got any idea of roughly how many courses you conducted?
Yeah.
Did you have intervals between them so you could
recover? There was no problem about getting in. In those days, all you did was to thumb and lift and look at Dakota. Now, where I had friends. And one got back, possibly by Dakota, or hop on along again down.
And what could you do when you were off duty?
We had all to do what we could do.
Yes.
Oh, there was a cinema.
What sort of accommodation did you have there?
Dug in. Cinema was run by a town called Shafter. Shafter cinema was in there.
Was this one of the open air cinemas?
Yes. Get on to your stage.
What about the Australians?
They're unruly. They set fire. And the manager, of course, Richard Jack was thrown off the farm.
Did he manage to escape?
This is supposed to be true. I mean, the story of the Australians, I think I found it on that. But they really killed the cows.
What about your own troops, the British troops? What sort of standard discipline did they have?
They were good, I thought, yes. I met some of my own regiment who had been in the desert and mopped up and got their own. They were in the King's Own Royal Regiment, and they had a company of Cornish. They were called the Free Cornish. So, other company from the South West Border, they were all put into one gang. So I met them occasionally, and yes, it was an interesting time.
Had this amphibious training centre at Cabrit, presumably it was drawn from all the units in the army.
Oh, yes, obviously.
Yes.
And we had a very interesting chap called Jerry Duke, who was an extremely alert chap, he was very good to me. He took me on a wonderful trip when he was going up to Palestine. And I went up with him to not only Damascus, but what's the place on the sea? Beirut.
Beirut, yeah.
So it was very interesting. We stayed at a place called Lida. Being a sapper, we were very interested in railways. He knew the station master and people in the various stations.
What impression did you get of Palestine and Syria on that trip?
What's that?
Impression did you get of that territory on that trip?
Syria?
It
was very impressive. It was right out of the war. Damascus was, we had a night in Damascus, we were just in the night time. We stayed at a training camp just outside. I remember Mount Hermon, which was a little bit smaller, which was attractive. And coming into the world, it was lovely, cedars and things, down to Europe. and in fact I wrote as well. I went to bed to Cabrit.
You were at Cabrit for about a year or so, weren't you, or just under?
Yes, just under. The only time came when I really always wanted to get back to Mount Tabor, which in fact was a second.
Yes.
So I had a 3,000-mile journey from Cabrit, Malakara, right along the coast,